Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
All righty, good evening. I think I'm live. I believe I am. Good to see everybody. Welcome to Breaking the Silence. And you're here the Sunday night before Christmas, right here in my home at Medical Center at Houston, Texas, which is probably the most awesome city in the country, if not the world. As a matter of fact, just a few minutes ago, the Texans, right over yonder at the NRG Stadium, was victorious tonight. And it was an awesome game, and they looked really good, and that was just wonderful. But anyway, it's good to have you here tonight. There's going to be kind of a different show tonight. Normally, we talk about people's stories, trauma, hurt, abuse, addiction, grief. But tonight being the Sunday before Christmas, I want to just kind of share what this coming week is all about, what this whole season is all about. And we're going to be on the religious vein tonight. I try to keep this as open-sided as I can to be able to welcome in all opinions. But I'm not ashamed of my belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And especially, I'm not going to advocate, hey, during Christmas, we're not going to talk about him, because this is what it's all about. But I think I have been doing a series of sermons at the church I pastor, and there's a lot that I have been sharing with them that I have found out in the Christmas story that's very relevant for folks like me and you that we can apply. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But I tell you what, 888-627-6008. I'd love, nothing will make me happier, for you all to give me a call, have a comment or a thought about what I'm talking about, or just something that's on your mind. I'll be glad to entertain those. And they will patch you right through. We don't screen our calls. I'll be glad to talk to you live. Or you can get on Shattered by the Darkness. Looks like we have a good presence there tonight. You can get on there and comment, or you can text me at 832-396-6525. And I got several texts wondering why we were a minute or two late, but that's all right. Being a minute or two late is not bad this day and age. But you can feel free to text me. And during our short commercial break at the bottom of the hour at 8:30 Central Time, I will check that and then comment on that or answer or read it or whatever on the other side of the commercial break that happens at the bottom of the hour. I hope you all having a great week. I typically always start off sharing with you something that I learned this week, but I'm going to share with you and just focus on what this time of the year is all about. And if I could take my camera and just scan it over to this whole corner, it's a mess. Gifts, presents, wrapping paper, tape, bows, filled shopping bags of things that I need to wrap in the next couple of days and then get them underneath the tree. But you know, it's not about all that stuff. Although we all get involved in that, it's about something else. And probably one of the ways that we get the inclination of even giving, of, hey, why do we give gifts? Is because it happened at the very home, at the very stable, when Christ was born. And the kings probably gave us the biggest storyline, if you was going to be reading this in the Houston Chronicle newspaper tomorrow morning, of what they did and how they did it and the background of that and the significance of their gifts is kind of fascinating. So when you really think about it, I want to look at both sides of this. What they gave, what in the gift was the significance of each of those gifts, and then what does that mean to us today? And then how can we turn those gifts into something that we can apply to our life and give back? Ooh, anytime that you can take the Word of God, read it, understand it, study it, and then marinate on it and make it applicable, usable in your life. That's what it's all about. Because God's Word says that this Word is a living Word, it's a living concept that. That word, because in the beginning was the Word was God. That's John 1:1. So the Word, God, truth, Jesus, Holy Spirit, all of that has a significance and a very important significance for all of us, especially at this time of the year. So if I may, and if you all that listen say, oh, I don't want to listen to anything religious. Can I just ask you to do me a favor? Give this a chance. Take, you know, mute the football game and listen to the words about what this season is all about. And if you want to, go ahead and open up your Bibles or type it in your phone, Matthew chapter 2. And I want to read just a few verses out of it, and then I'm just going to share with you some thoughts. Matthew 2, starting with verse 1 and 2, and then we'll jump down a little bit. It says, now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Now, Herod gets involved in this because Herod the king, back in those days, he got all irritated and troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. In verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, all the scribes, all the big wigs that had knowledge together, this is the Williams version, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, word has it, prophecy has it, he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then at that point, Herod secretly, and this is how conniving sometimes politics works, Herod the king secretly called the wise men determine from them what time this star that he heard about appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem. And he gives them these little directions. Go and search carefully for this young child. When you find him, bring word back to me, won't you? Fax me. Send me a text. Send me an email real quick. Just let me know that you found him, so I may come and worship him. Now, between me and you and the doorpost, he wasn't trying to do that. He wasn't going to go to worship him. He was going to go and kill him. He wanted to find out where this child was that he had heard through the grapevine, through all the wisdom of his scribes and Pharisees and rulers, about what prophecy said about this king and this baby that was going to be born in Bethlehem. When they heard the king, they got in their cars and left. They departed. And behold, the star, we hear about the star all the time, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stopped and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they come into the house, they saw the young child. Now, this was probably a year and a half, 2 years after the baby was born, Jesus. He was a little toddler at this time. They come to the house where Jesus was at with Mary, his mother. They saw him, and they fell down and worshiped him. These kings from other countries that are rulers, that are the absolute authority of the country that they were in, each of these, came and found him, studied this for years, had people in their cabinet study it for years, and they finally figured out, okay, we're going to see this star. We're going to follow because it's that time. And boy, they did. They heard it. They went. And when they heard the news, Herod caught wind of it and kind of said, hey, before you get there, can you come by, swing by and say howdy to me? So they swing by Herod. He said, hey, tell me when you get there because I want to come and worship him too. That's the story that Herod the king, Herod's honor is all get out. And then when the wise men saw Jesus, they fell down and worshiped him. And when they'd opened up their treasures, they presented gifts to Jesus. These are the three that I'm going to talk about tonight because it's right here in God's Word. And those three gifts was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, in that, we may read a little bit more a little bit later. We see this is probably one of the first times that we kind of tag and tie in Christmas with all the gifts of the giving, of going out and shopping, doing the late night Walmart things and the Ross and the TJ Maxx and the Marshalls and the Galleria and all the malls. And, you know, there's two different types of gifts that we really deal with. You know the difference between a polite gift and a pricey gift, right? Okay, look here. This is a polite gift. It's a Whataburger card. I don't even know how much this is worth, but somebody gave this to me and it's all festive. Got little trees on it. Christmassy. Somebody gave that to me, said, hey, I had to buy something just to let you know that I'm supposed to buy something, but here you go. And it's not the fact that I don't appreciate it, but you know the difference between this and something that you're going to give somebody special. So if you have a husband or a wife, significant other, a mom or a dad, and you just swing by on the way to grandma's house for Christmas Eve dinner, and you swing by Walgreens and you get a Long John Silver's card and a Whataburger card and a Dairy Queen card, and you say, "Here, mom, here, dad, here, husband, here's wife." That's not going to get you very far in the family will. I guarantee you, it may get you ridden out of it. But there's a difference because the people that you care about, the people that you love, the people that you give the most to are the ones that you really sit there and think, and you scroll through pages and pages, and all these texts are just bombarding you, are they not? Which is sell the best sell of the year, JCPenney's and Neiman Marcus and all this stuff. And you go up and down the halls of and the corridors of the malls, and you go, okay, what can I get them to let them know just how much I care? First of all, I want you to notice that the kings, the first thing they did was worship him. We ought to do that too. Before we ever get to all the gifts, before you ever even get to gathering around the tree, we ought to do it the same way, the same order that the wise men did. Find Jesus, look towards him, and then fall on our knees and worship him. Then open up your treasure and give him a gift. Okay? Now, it's interesting that they get three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And first, there is a spiritual law that if you'd like writing things down, I really want you to write down and not forget as children that believe in this baby Jesus, of followers of Jesus. Here's the spiritual law, and it goes like this. What was laid at his feet in Bethlehem is available to you today. Wow. Then I want to know more about these gifts, don't you? Because Romans 8:17 indicates to us that we are joint heirs with Christ. I have my will right over here. Yes, I have a will. And I have it right out in the open to where it could be found. If I drop dead, they know, oh, there's his will. You don't have to go looking through all the cabinets and everything. It's right there on the top of my counter. And the people that I have named in my will become joint heirs with everything that I own, which isn't massive amounts, but they get it. We are now joint heirs if we're believers in Jesus Christ and we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we become a joint heir with him. That means that what was given to Jesus at Bethlehem, spiritually, we have access to today. The Word of God through the cross becomes spiritual to us. Okay? The first gift, gold. Gold represents several different things. Number one, it's valuable. Number one, you know, the kings ask, okay? They didn't go up and say, "Hey, where's this baby? Where's he at?" No. The kings ask, "Where is he that is born the king of Jews? Where is he, the king?" He's a baby. He's a toddler. That's in Matthew 2:2. They came looking for a king, not just a Christmas story, not just a good meal. They came looking for a king. Now, gold gives us an indication. And a characterization of Jesus Christ as being the king. Gold declares his kingship. By laying gold at Jesus' feet, these wise men, leaders of other countries, were saying, this child is not just an ordinary child. This child is royalty. And this child is the true king. Even though Herod is sitting on the throne for a short period of time, the real king of the entire universe was God, was this baby Jesus, who really, now make this applicable, get this to where we can use it tomorrow in our life, or use it even tonight. Who really sits on the throne of your life? Is Jesus king of your Sunday only? Wednesday night, we have a Christmas Eve service. A lot of people will only show up at Christmas Eve and Easter Sunday. Is that the kind of believer you are? Is that the kind of throne that he supposedly sits on in your life? Just your Sunday only king? Or he is the king of your whole week? Is Jesus also the king of your emotions? Or do your emotions rule? And sometimes to places and things and ways that are not godly. Well, I've just always been that way. I fly off the handle. I mouth off. I do this. I get irritated. You cuss like a sailor, or you drink like one, or whatever it is. What runs you? Who controls you? Who is your king? Also, is Jesus the king of your decisions? Or do basically we write them all out? And then we say, hey, God, can you sign off on this? And God says, no. Here. And he sends one coming from the other direction and says, here, this is the plan I have for you. And you go, no way am I going to do that. Do you have him really as the king of your decisions? Or do you decide and then ask him to bless it and sign off on it afterward? A king doesn't negotiate for space. He rules. Okay. Gold also represents here what we value. Not only does it declare his kingship, but it represents what we value. They gave Jesus their very best. Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our modern day goal, okay? Our modern day goal is our time, schedule, our talent, our skills, our treasures, our finances, our trust, which is our plans and designs. Also, gold serves as a practical provision here in this story. Right after these gifts were given, you know what happens? Verse 13, two verses. There's only one verse between, verse 12. Well, I'll just read verse 12 since we left off at 11. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should return to Herod, they departed their own way for their own country. Now, this is the verse I wanted to get to. When they had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Hey, get up, arise. Take the young child with a capital C, take Jesus and his mother Mary, and take off to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young boy to destroy him. So we already know what Herod's really up to. So an angel tells Joseph in the middle of the night, right after the kings left and left these valuables, you got to relocate. You got to go to another place, and you got to do it now. The next verse or two. So right after the visit from the kings that's presented the gifts, Joseph has this dream, and they have to move. A sudden move, another country, and then years of living away from home. Where would a poor carpenter get that kind of money to just uproot, bag up everything, and get back on your donkey and run? Where? With the gold, with these valuable treasures, the frankincense and the myrrh. Very valuable. The best that the kings had were given. And automatically, I want you to see that God provided to Joseph and Mary and Jesus before the crisis ever hit. That's what gold resembles. We're going to take a short commercial break. 888-627-6008. Come back. Don't leave me. It only is about a minute and 2 or 3 seconds long. Come back, and we're going to talk about frankincense and myrrh. And you don't want to miss the finish of this. Hang with us. We'll be right back.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All righty, welcome back. We are on the Sunday before Christmas program tonight, and we're just sharing the story and a portion of the story of Jesus' birth tonight, and kind of really trying to dig in deep, because this is what this season's all about. Why would we talk about anything else but Christmas and the reason for Christmas in Christ? And we just got done through talking about the three gifts, the first gift of gold, indicating that royalty, value, how we give of our best or not, and then the practical provision of that, and that God prepared them for their move to stay away from Herod so Jesus wouldn't be killed. And Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all my needs according to the riches that you have in your 401k account." Thanks for playing. No. That you have in your wallet? No. According to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He'll supply all my needs, and he'll supply all of yours too. The second gift was frankincense. Indicates to us that he is here and he hears us. If gold says he reigns, he's king, frankincense says he's near. He's close. Frankincense is a fragrance. a resin that was once used, and it was used in the incense of the tabernacle and the temple back in the biblical days. Kind of like similar, so you can get a picture of it, the Catholic Church with their little chain, and they have a little incense burner, and they'll go up and down during marriages and funerals and church services and special times, and they fill the altar with that aroma, that scent, that incense. Frankincense was a very, 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 very highly regarded, expensive resin that they used in that. It was worship and prayer. It signified that it had that significance. It was also used for calming, for healing the mind and the body. So both here and here, it was had a calming effect. Frankincense represented the presence of God, and it was given to Jesus as a child. In the Old Testament, frankincense was part of the holy incense and a symbol of worship and prayer. God is saying that this child is the new altar, that this child is the new high priest, that this child is the very sense and presence of God wrapped up in flesh. Not wrapped up like all this Christmas wrapping. Wrapped up in flesh was God in human form on Christmas. We know that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. So today, when we call on the name of Jesus, we are literally getting the entrance, the VIP pass into the presence of God Himself. If you just believe and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, frankincense also represents the prayers of the saints. In Revelation 5:8 says, the prayers of the saints rise up in the presence of God. That means that when you're alone at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're going through loneliness and pain and hurt, and you say, Jesus, help me. I'm scared. I'm lonely. He hears you. He hears that at 2 o'clock in the morning. In pitch darkness. He also, every tear that you weep that falls to the floor out of your eyes, he sees every tear. Every groan that you cry out to our Lord and Savior feels it. This isn't just a little child, it's God in the flesh, and he deserves our best. Also, frankincense has a healing effect. It's used to heal inflammation, infection, calming our emotions. Jesus' presence does that for us. He will heal all of your shame. All of the guilt that you self-guilt, you put the guilt on, the shame on, he heals all that. He also heals all of our bitterness. And he also calms all of our anxiety and all of our fear. The myrrh is the third one. The myrrh, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold represents kingship. Frankincense represents priesthood, his presence, and myrrh represents a savior, a suffering savior. And This one's a unique gift because myrrh isn't like gold and frankincense. Myrrh is literally like going to a baby shower with a bottle of embalming fluid. Here, I want to give this to the baby, to the parents on behalf of the baby. Embalming fluid? Absolutely. Myrrh is a bitter tasting resin used for high cost perfume, also for anointing, also for medicine and pain relief, and most of all, for burial and embalming. Why would you give this gift to Jesus? Because it pictures he's going to suffer, he's going to heal, and he's going to die. He was born to die for us. That was the game plan. God didn't just say, hey, son, go down there and spend a few years down there and just get to experience walking around with the folks that I created years ago. There was a need in nature. There was a need in mankind. And only one need could fulfill what sin caused in that gap. When Adam and Eve sinned, automatically, we lost that communion with God. We need somebody to advocate for us, to step in place, because our sin, we deserve hell. But the only way now we can enter into heaven is through perfection. And we'll never have that. Because we all have a man flesh character about us since the fall. We all sin. We all have that bent. We all have that tinge. We all make errors. And the only way into the presence of God is through his son, Jesus Christ. And we have to accept his death, his burial, and his sacrifice on the cross for our sin. That's why this birth is so vastly important. This is exactly what Jesus came to deal with. Myrrh at the manger, he was born to suffer and save. The wise men's gifts worked on two different levels: practical provision. Support the family financially. Prophetic declaration that Christ was born to die, to suffer for us, to be killed, to be buried, and to rise again. Gold shouts the king. Frankincense whispers, he's God. He's priest. Myrrh announces he will be our suffering savior who heals your deepest wounds. Not just some of them. And folks, over 5 years, 5.5 years, I've had this show, maybe six now. I can't keep, have to take off my shoes and socks and figure it out. We have heard the story of so many emotional wounds, physical wounds, abuse, neglect, emotional abuse, domestic violence, being sold for sex. We've heard so many stories week after week after week. And I'm going to let you know. Yeah, get their books, read their story, listen to it on the radio. The stories are important for us to hear. But the only way we can get through this is to understand that Jesus was the only way I made it through what I went through. Myrrh at the cross represents that the king now steps away from my suffering? No, he steps into our suffering. Mark 15:23. They offered Jesus wine that was mixed with myrrh at the cross. While he was dying, here, take some of this myrrh that's mixed with wine. It will deaden the pain a little bit. And Jesus said, no. And then John 19, 39 and 40, Nicodemus literally brings 70 to 100 pounds of myrrh to wrap Jesus up, to embalm him and cover him with all this myrrh. He died. He suffered for our pain. Isaiah 53:3 says that Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And it goes on later and says, surely he bore our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. And then later in verse 5, the same chapter of Isaiah 53, and by his stripes we are healed. The king doesn't, and I want you to hear this, watch from a distance like a big god with a big gray beard from the throne, from millions and zillions miles away. He doesn't do that. He steps into your life, your suffering, your pain. I remember when I was being abused, I kept looking at that Bible that was given to me. And I set it on my bedstand so I could see it every night while my dad or whoever was abusing me. And I'd look at that. Had a little picture of Jesus with children at his feet on the front of that little Bible, that little New Testament. And there's a young boy on Jesus' lap in that picture. I looked at that while I was being abused, putting myself on Jesus' lap. And I could hear inside of me, I'll get you through this. Don't give up. Hang in there. We'll get you through this. We are in this together. The King, Jesus, doesn't watch from a distance. He steps into your life right now. I assure you that. I want this Christmas not to be so materialistic and so shallow. I want it to be deep and in depth, that you experience the true Christmas. And it's not about a Whataburger card. It's not about perfume that you bought at Ulta or Sephora. It's about him. Experience all of what Christmas is. Myrrh also gives me the indication of our bitter places. Folks, Christmas isn't easy. It's hard. It's difficult. There may be an empty chair at your Christmas dinner this year of somebody that has gone to be with God in heaven. That brings back real tears, real pain, real memories, real loneliness, real depression, real anxiety, real tense, all of that. There may be broken relationships that you deal with at Christmas. You have to take them to the exes, and you have to pick up the kids at this time from the ex mom and dads and father-in-laws and in-laws and all of that. It indicates broken relationships. And also, Christmas brings up financial strain. You may be just going in debt more and more and more just to get through to show people you love them. That's not what it's all about. But also, Christmas shines on our loneliness, our hurt, our pain, our depression, our anxiety. And Psalm 34, 18 says, the Lord is near. Now, what do you see? It didn't say the Lord is up in heaven, far away. Psalm 34, 18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. He's near. That's what myrrh and that gift of myrrh means to me. There's the three gifts. But I want you to see, since we're joint heirs of all three gifts, his gold becomes our gold. We walk in kingdom authority through the name of Jesus Christ. We have that authority through him and with him. The frankincense is our frankincense. We have access now into his presence right now. Right now, when we close this down, well, right now we have access to him. You don't need to go to a midnight mass. You have access to him right now in your presence. You can go to him. And the myrrh is our myrrh too. He comforts and heals. So, and this is a key for everybody that listens to the program over and week after week after week. He comforts and heals us so we can just sit back and go, hey, I feel better. No, so we can help comfort and heal others. That's the reason I do this show. That's the reason I have the guest on. That's the reason they want to share their story. They try to turn all the negativity stuff into something positive to help one more person. And if tonight I can help one person, it's worth it. If I can help you, it's worth it. It's worth what I went through. If I can connect with you to be able to say, you're going to get through this. And I want to push the envelope a little bit. I want to challenge you. As a kid, we used to double dog dare you. I double dog dare you to give Jesus a try, a chance, an opportunity. Put him at his word. Say, Jesus, I don't know everything, but I know I'm missing the peace. I know I'm missing all of these gifts. I don't feel your presence. I don't have you in my heart, my life. And all you have to do is, we don't have to all get in the car, load up and go to church and find an altar somewhere. All you have to do is say, Lord, I believe in you. I want to accept your gift to me. The greatest gift of all mankind wasn't a new car or a new house or a bonus check that hopefully you get at your office this week. The greatest gift of all mankind was God sending his son to this earth. So if you believe in him, if you will accept him into your heart, into your life, he'll forgive you of your sins and grant you everlasting life in his presence. Now, believe it or not, everybody's going to have everlasting life. It just depends, what's your destination? And there's only two, heaven or hell. Have you asked him ever? I want to open that up to you tonight. If you do, and if you have, text me, let me know. Email me, comment, call. We still got a couple minutes. And just say, Lord, I believe in you. I need a savior. I can't take this healing on my own. I can't do it. It hurts too bad. And the only way that I can get up and walk every day is because of him giving a try. Your gift to him, your gold to him this Christmas, give him your time, give him your talent, give him your treasure, and most of all, give him your trust. That's what you can give him right now for Christmas. Your frankincense gift to him. Give him your worship. Give him your prayer. Give him your surrender. Your myrrh gift to him. Give him all of the wounds, all of the grief, all of the trauma, all of the shame, all of the bitterness. Those three gifts you can give to him this Christmas and make him your king, your priest, and your Savior. I really appreciate you being with me tonight. I really appreciate you allowing me to share the true Christmas story and not just run a repeat of a program 6 months ago. Next week, we're going to have a one-on-one. And in that one-on-one with our discussion next week, it's going to be me with you. And show you how one thing can change your entire 2026 as we go into a new year. One thing, and I'm going to share that with you next week. And then in January, we'll have all the guests coming back on, all the authors with some great books, great victory over trials and tribulation in their own life, and how they were heroes in their own world and made it through it, all that trauma. We'll have that later on in January. But next week, it's going to be me and you just looking in the camera at each other. I want to share with you that one thing that could change your next year. Thanks for being with me tonight. Thanks for coming into my house. And we'll let you know. The Christmas this coming week is not just about the wrapping paper and the little barbecue weenies and the ham or whatever it is that you all eat at Christmas. It's about surrounding yourself with the people that you love and love them like you want to be loved. Forgive them like you want to be forgiven. Accept them like you want to be accepted. But don't get through Christmas without mentioning and talking about Christ, because that's the whole reason we do it. Enjoy your Christmas. May it be peaceful and joyful. As we end the program tonight, no matter what you're going through, may it also be filled with hope. Hope. God bless you. Merry Christmas. And we'll see you next Sunday night with that one-on-one with one thing that can change your world next year. God bless you. Good night. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.